Hey, you. Come in. What are you doing? I'm kidding. But seriously, take off your shoes, will you? I know, but I just got a new rug to go under the gaming table. At least let me pretend I'm going to keep this one clean, yeah? Okay. Yeah, go ahead and get set up. I'll be in there in a minute. I'm actually feeling a little warm. I've been preparing the last few minutes of the one shot we didn't finish last time. And I made few creative changes to the plan. And I have to admit, I'm a little nervous. Yeah, so I guess we didn't really talk about how the whole party died except you last week, huh? How are you doing with that? You all haven't had anyone die before. I know this wasn't our main adventure, but still, even if you're just prepare a new character and play them for a one-time thing, it can be a little jarring when they are defeated. Oh yeah, they're all coming over a little later with their new characters and all rolled up, backstories written, etc., etc. But that's why I invited you earlier and told them to show up later. There's only a little bit of the tower left, and I thought it would be more authentic if you did the last part alone, since technically the rest of the party is toast. There. All comfy. Can I get you anything? What? Oh, this. Okay. I guess it is just a little bit sheer, but hey, it's soft and comfy, and it's black. It's actually technically a slip, you know, for wearing under a dress, but it covers the essentials and, like I said, comfy. And I think it will help me really get into the next character you'll meet in the tower. Hey, so grab your dice and your shit and come in here. Yeah, to the living room over here. Since it's just us and I don't have a map for this last part, we can just go theater of the mind for this next part. We'll just do a few things to set the mood and see how this goes. Oh, and before we get started, look, I made a few creative changes to the next part of this adventure. It's going to take you places. I'm not going to ask much of your RP-wise. It's just you and me, so I kind of wrote this one for you. I'll roll for you if you want in a few places. Just go with the flow. And if at any point this gets too intense, you can just, say so. Otherwise, I'm assuming your game. Okay? Okay. Let me just dim the lights. And one more finishing touch. Yeah. Major black candle vibes coming up. Just getting in the mood. There. Okay. All set? So you will notice a cocktail-looking beverage there on the side table. That's for you. I'm not going to tell you what's in it. I know you and your preferences. Just trust me. You can just sip it now and then if you want.
I just thought a dark green drink was fitting for what's coming next. No, kidding. Okay. A recap from the last week. Okay. You and your party entered a desecrated building. You only know from the letter beckoning you there as the Tower. Upon entering, you expertly navigated a labyrinth of traps, and you met little resistance on the first floor. And you found a few clues of why you had been beckoned. However, upon reaching the second floor of the building, you were set upon by animated skeletons. Their numbers were few at first, and you made quick work of the first few you met, but the closer to the tower spire that you got, you found yourself facing an increasingly large horde. The goal, of course, was not for you to stand and fight at all, but you all did not immediately realize that. And as the horde piled onto the floor, you became overcome by their numbers, and your most powerful caster was killed. And with her, one of your most important sources for healing. Shortly after, your barbarian fell to his knees, and eventually he laid prostrate on the floor, overwhelmed by his wounds from numerous skeletons striking him one after the other. Your warlock, in a desperate attempt to create space between you and her and the horde, cast Shatter on the floor. But she cast it too close to your party, and although she laid waste to many of your enemies, she also caused the floor to give way under her very own feet. And of course, she rolled a nat 1 on her acrobatics saving throw, and she fell to an unfortunate death. And there you stood, a group of skeletons still standing across the chasm created by the fallen warlock. Though they mingled with purpose, they were, and remain, unable to cross the chasm. Before you, your enemies and your fallen friends. Behind you, a door. A door leading to a spiral staircase, beyond which lies your very purpose for being here. I assume you'll be taking the door then? Okay, not to railroad, but you'll be taking the door. You open the heavy wooden door, feeling prickling at your neck as you turn your back to your enemies and your party. The door slowly creaks open, and you walk in, noticing the change in surface as you step from the dilapidated wooden floor to the stone staircase of the tower. You can tell that the aging mansion you navigated and fought your way through must have been built around a much more ancient tower. You're surprised that the door was not locked, and further, it surprises you to notice that there are torches lining the walls up the stone staircase. The air is cold, and a certain palpable tension hangs in the cool, unmoving air. The stone staircase leading down the tower from where you stand is in poor condition, and you imagine that it is impassable. There is only one way forward. For now, and that is to climb the spiral stairs. As you take your first step, you feel as if an invisible hand is reaching into your chest and drawing you forward. You feel anticipation as you imagine what could be at the top. Step by step, you climb, increasing your pace. Even with the torch-lit walls, the narrow staircase is cold and feels dark. And as you climb further and further, you begin to forget how long you have been climbing, and you wonder how long you will be. Suddenly, you wonder to yourself, is this some sort of arcane trickery? Am I to climb here forever? Is there no way up or down that has an end? And you think briefly, should I turn back? But the purpose resonating in your chest continues to draw you up the stairs. And up the stairs you go, step by step by step. And after some time passes, you stop thinking about what you're doing at all. You stop wondering how far you have to go, or how far you have climbed yet. And just as those thoughts leave your mind, replaced by no particular thought at all, you start to hear in the distance, emanating from the top of the staircase, the pleasant crackling of a fireplace. In spite of the combat you just witnessed and participated in, you feel calm, at peace. You start to feel almost as if you're weightless, as if your belongings do not burden you, as if the mystery of why you are here and what awaits you as you climb ceases to vex you altogether. You feel as if you're ascending to somewhere pleasant, not an ominous lair occupied by a sadistic enemy, not a hoard of treasure, not a realm of magical objects or wonders, just somewhere pleasant, relaxing, nice to be. And you feel all the more drawn towards it. And you climb with a sense of calm, pleasant satisfaction. And just like that, you take a step up and find no step at all. And your foot plants hard on the floor in front of you. You notice you are beyond the torches and that it is completely dark, except the warm light of the fire you can hear more clearly now, steaming out from under another door. You reach out your hand, and even through your glove, you feel the iron knob is absolutely frigid to the touch. And you immediately draw it back. Suddenly, that feeling in your chest, the one that felt optimistic just moments ago, feels a mixture of that same gravity pulling you forward, but also a slight sense of dread. You can, of course, turn back. You look down at the doorknob, eerily backlit by the firelight streaming under the door. Well, hero, do you enter? Good. You reach out again, your hand compelled by resolve to complete your mission. You turn your hand swiftly again, feeling the twinkle of cold, but pressing through and pressing open the door. You hear a quiet, but sharp snap as the door separates from the frame. It has not opened in many, many moons. You place your palm in the center of the door and push it open. Immediately, your face, chest, and body feels a shift in the ambient temperature. You are suddenly bathed in the warmth and light of a massive fireplace in the center of the room. The room appears to be empty. The walls are curved, and the room is a sort of a circular shape. This is clearly the top of the tower. The walls are adorned by oil paintings, all with dark colors, grays, blacks, dark browns. In each, the trees are leafless. The buildings look desolate. On each hollow face, there is a sense of hopelessness. Who resides in such a place, you wonder? You step forward into the room. As the warmth of the room contrasts against the steel, cold air of the spiral staircase, you feel compelled to enter. And just as you do, the door closes behind you. You turn and look, but there's no figure behind you. In your travels, you've seen enough inanimate objects become animate. Not to question how this door could have closed of its own accord. But you scan the room again, looking for a source of whatever magic propelled the door. If you want, you can make an investigation check, or I can just roll for you. However you prefer. As you scan the room, you see nothing. Nothing but the massive fireplace, the paintings around the room, four windows set opposed one another on either side of the room, and between you and the fireplace, you see a large leather couch. The leather looks worn in a pleasant way, aged by many hands and bodies lying their burdens upon it. The oils of many a hand, cured by the dry warmth of the fireplace. The leather looks soft, almost mahogany in color, and you wonder to yourself, should I rest my weary bones upon it? You approach the couch, and as you walk around it to one side, you see a massive rock on the floor. It appears to be somehow both down and fur, and you wonder, has some eccentric soul slain an owl bear and adorned the floor with its height? You walk towards it, and you reach out to touch it, because it looks just so soft, so pleasant. You think to yourself, if you are indeed alone, you should like to rest upon it. But as you reach towards the rug, you see a being on the couch. You lose interest in the rug and the rest of what is in the room all at once, and your guard is up once again, as you observe the delicate body strewn across the couch. On her side, tilted just ever so slightly on her back, with one hand cradling her head and the other laid just ever so gently on her tummy. Her skin is the fairest you imagine that you have ever, ever seen. It is almost porcelain, with a bit of gray hue. But even at your slight distance away, you can see that it is. Oh, so soft. Like the couch and the rug. Her long wavy hair cascading along her body is a shade of black that you have never seen before. On the darkest night, with not even a hint of visible stars in the sky, you have never seen a black quite like this. The dark tendrils conceal part of her face from your view, and the resting crooked atop her lovely head is a soft leather wide-brimmed hat with a pointy tip, lazily tilted over to one side. From the way it is resting, you see horns curving back, around, and alongside either side of her face. She is a tiefling, but not like any you have seen before. Immediately you imagine that this could only be a witch. Her body is adorned with an ever so soft silk garment. It is so thin that you can see the heels of her hips, the valleys of her navel, and the soft creases under her small, shapely breasts. The ties at the top of the sleeve are untied, as if she has not expected your company. It is a long sleep, and although it flatters her body, it does so modestly. Her knees are held together, and her bare feet are stretched out from under the bottom of the sleep, pointed towards you. You stand there, captivated. For you don't know how long. And as your eyes adjust to the brilliant flame in the fireplace, dancing over her body, you wonder to yourself, is she dead? You think to yourself you might see the rise and the fall of her chest, but you're not sure. You approach slowly, your footsteps silent on the white fluffy rug. The room smells of ancient wood, the gentle fragrance of the leather of the couch, the pleasant smell of burning wood in the fireplace, all at once. But as you approach the witchy figure, you notice other smells, like spearmint and perhaps licorice. You get closer and closer, and before you realize it, your face is close to hers, and you discover that the alluring perfume is the smell of her breath. And all at once you find yourself so captivated by the simple act of her breathing. Your eyes fixed upon her face. You have seen a witch before, perhaps two, but their noses were gnarled, their faces etched with lines of age and tangles with wicked magic. But not hers. Her ethereal skin draped across her lustrous features, delicate cheeks. Her nose is pointy, but not protruding. The only creases on her face are where you imagine dimples would reveal themselves were she to smile. Her eyes. Before you can think to yourself what her eyes look like, they open. They open quickly but not dramatically, and her face remains soft and sleepy. The cadence of her breathing remains temperate, slow, and you still find yourself breathing at her face, in and out, in and out. And you still sit there, just like that. You look into each other's eyes. Your eyes are more vibrant than any you have seen in your recollection. They are the shade of green you have never seen before. As if you plucked the lushest leaf from the greenest plant and then held it up against the sun on a nice day, gazing at it. Her eyes stare through you. They have the glimmer of familiarity. You do not know her. You have never seen her before, nor any like her. But she appears to know you, or know of you. And you realize that she was, in fact, expecting you. You cannot look away. All you can do is stand, fixated, staring into her sparkling emerald eyes. They have the depth of the ocean, and you cannot stop looking into them. And you feel her looking into your eyes. You forget every sensation but the intense draw of her gaze. You dare not move. You could not look away if an orcish barbarian stood behind you and turned your head with all of his might. The tower could topple around you, and so long as stones and rock remained beneath your feet, you would stand and stare. She says nothing. You are captivated. And you stand there, listening to her breath, matching it with yours. And as you stand there, fixated, unaware of any sensation but the sizzling desire to explore every facet of her sultry gaze, you begin to notice a twinkle of, is it cold? A sharp, disquieting pang in your stomach. It starts as a small, slight pinch. The feeling in your belly begins to spread, and you cannot break your locked stare with hers, but you remember your hand, and you reach towards the feeling, and all of a sudden you feel vicious wetness at your center, and the room around you begins to blur slightly. The roar of the flame becomes just a bit louder. You hold up your hand, and on it is what looks at first like blood, dark ruby red, like the witch's painted fingertips. But as the liquid runs from your fingertips, slowly down your hand, it turns the same emerald color of her eyes. And then, slowly, as the room becomes less and less vivid, as your mind becomes less and less lucid, you see a gentle smile creep across your graceful lips. At first, it is gentle, innocent, but then, just ever so subtly, her cheeks rise, and her smile takes on a sadistic shape. And suddenly you feel the need to see what is creating the unsettling sensation at your center, and you realize that your neck is stiff, and you have to press your chin down, and with some effort you do look down. And your eyes remain fixated on hers until just when you are ready to peer towards your center and you see her once empty hand, the one that was once draped across her belly, wrapped around your gnarled, scorched iron dagger with its tip planted just through your ribs. Your eyes whip back to hers, and suddenly your neck and your shoulders and your back, which you realize had become stiff with anticipation, all at once become loose and limp. And your eyes are once again trained upon hers, and you can see nothing else. And as your body softens, you feel as if you are falling backwards. But rather than toppling onto the floor, you feel as if your body is enshrouded in the waves of the ocean. As if you are leagues under the being jostled side to side by the imminent current. And all of the tension in your body runs out as you fall away from the witch. And she releases the blade of the dagger so that it remains fast between your ribs. And you realize that your lungs were full, and you let out an effortless exhale, and you feel yourself supported by the heavy rug. And you realize that you are lying flat on the floor. And you cannot move. Her face begins to blur. You feel the dagger begin to dissolve, and it creates an effervescent sort of sensation in your center. And you see embers of green light drift apart and dissolve over the place where she stabbed you. And the wound continues to simmer. It's not pain. It's a sensation somehow more sinister than the pain. And you feel your eyes drift closed. And you resume a cadence of breathing, like her soft sleepy breaths before she opened her eyes. You are ensconced in the darkness under your eyelids. The embrace of the rock and the warmth of the room but for the frigid, sizzling wound at your center. You cannot move. Your arms lay at your side. The strength of your legs has vanished. And you slow your breathing. In and out. In and out. And even with your eyes closed, you can see her green emerald eyes staring into yours. It is all you can see. It is the only light. It is the only sensation binding you to reality. If they are even real, you no longer even know. Your instinct to draw a weapon or pursue some other means of defense fires somewhere deep in the recesses of your mind. But your body disobeys. And helplessness takes over. You lay still, gazing at the eyes that dominate your consciousness. Hero, why have you come? A few words on parchment, begging you to seek adventure. Gold, spoils of my tower. Were you sent to rescue me? In a way quite unlike any wraiths you might have encountered. I exist here voluntarily in solace in the radiant warmth of this room. Forever by my own violation. Should I wish to be rescued? And would you entreat me for the splendors of my tower? Does some object here seem more yours than mine? Or... Are you here for me? Oh, now he understands. He wasn't sent here to for his own pleasure, for his own spoils. He was sent here for mine. I love the solace of this tower. Cauldrons, books, animating the inanimate, bringing life to the dead, changing shapes of beings and objects, of myself, poisoning, healing, all of the activities of my life. I wish not for them, nor do I wish for the bounty of my time, wandering the woods around the tower. I am at my own end, on my own terms, at my own hand in this very tower, before these perpetual flames, surrounded by an army of my own creation, so that I might stay here forever in the calm warmth of this room, sleeping before the fireplace. I can experience any sensation that I want, any but one. I miss but one sensation from my life. Quell that hubris that clouds your wisdom, hero. It is not pleasure that I miss. And if it were, you are a fool if you think you are the harbinger of some pleasure I cannot experience without you. For I can experience the ecstasy of my own design whenever I wish. No, it is not pleasure that I sent a letter carried by a raven to find adventurers in Waterdeep, draw them to my tower with the promise of whatever their hearts desire. It was not the vibrations of my body that I missed, for I feel them often. It was desire. It was the poison of lust that can only come from seeing a being outstretched before me. The rock adorned by his blood, evidence of his nearing demise. The way it flows through my vessels, the way it tickles the underside of my skin, hastens my breath. Coaxes moans from my belly, causes my breasts to stir under the silk of my dress. Fuck. That is what I have missed. The witch lays upon the couch, gazing down at your body. Your life force is running from the wound left behind by the wretched. Her wretched blade. She continues to speak to you in your mind. She paints images of her body, writing on the couch. Her knees still held together. Her wicked hands, which stabbed you moments ago, now running her outstretched fingers slowly up the inside of her thighs, tickling her clitoris. Gently, slowly, savoring the sensation, gazing upon you, delighting in your body's response to her moans. So you see, hero. You have been brought here for my pleasure. And I offer you a choice. Your eyes are closed. And you can choose to sleep into the void. Feel the gates of the astral plane open behind you. I will allow you to sleep into them, for you have brought me all you have to offer me, and I will not deny you passage into the next life. But you may instead choose to stay with me. And listen to my my voice as I as I explore another plane, a plane that is comprised entirely of pleasure. You can continue to look into my eyes. In your mind, you can imagine my body before you as I touch as I draw the wetness from between my legs, rub it into my thighs. As the shifting of my body exposes my breasts from beneath my dress. Even with your life force flowing out of you, even as you cling to this plane, so that you may continue to be my plaything. There, on the rug, I can see that your body responds to my pleasure. Are you to experience pleasure, my hero? Are you throbbing beneath your clothes? Are you leaking? Will your pleasure reach its peak as mine does? Will you think of my scent? Will the roar of the flame spark pleasure inside your own chest? Will the poison of my dagger turn its purpose from extinguishing your light to igniting it. Will you? Will you? Come with me. Once again, to my tower, and fuck, oh fuck. I'm coming. I keep looking deep into my eyes as I... And there, before you, stands the witch. Since you chose to stay with her, she stands before your body, which appears to be lifeless, but for the signs of arousal, your flushed cheeks, the other signs. Since you elected to be the object of her pleasure, she leans over your body as she moves ever so gracefully over you. She covers your breasts with her silky sleep and leans over you. Her eyelids blinking slowly over her gorgeous green eyes. She places the hand that stabbed you, still glistening with the stents of her own cum, and she places it over the wound. You once again feel the disquieting sensation in your center, but rather than radiating and worsening, it begins to flicker and fizzle, and after a few seconds, it is extinguished. Your limbs, which had become tense without you even noticing, once again begin to go limp. You feel that you are once again able to move. And your breathing is at a normal pace, and you slowly open your eyes to see her standing over you. She is so beautiful, Hero. And her sadistic smile is replaced with a gentle one. Her hand, the instrument of her pleasure and your demise, reaches down towards you to help you up. Gone from your mind is what drew you to the tower. Your party lies forgotten below. There remains one day joined the legion of skeletons who guard the tower. Your reputation, your gold, your weapons, your treasure, your manor, your nemesis, the taverns you haunt, They are all forgotten. And they forget about you too. And you remain in the tower, held in the glowing emerald gaze of the witch, in the warmth of the fireplace, forever. One beckons thee to travel far, to the spire upon horizon, the darkest tower known to all, and dark in sight is rising. If one should climb and in sight find the tower and its ward, and if one should not think it wise to brandish flame of sword, prepare hero to hear sweet words and witness such sweet sight. But all might not be as appears, for in the fire's light one shall find the empress who presides above the path, which many seek and few will find, and none one knows yet hath. The tall one's pate will seem as dust, but treasure before given, and only seeing light through dark can then the toll be riven.
That's the rest of the group. Did you bring the second character sheet I asked you to bring?
Just a minute!